Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Nun Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top. We're going to have a very famous story. Once we're discussing the Anias of different Tanaim, so now we're going to mention the famous story with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Kadash Le Barta de either Bar really de Kalba Savua. The daughter of Kalba Savua became engaged to Rabbi Akiva. So the story here is a little bit not as marchiv as we see. We had the Gemara in Ksubis, comes up the Gemara in Gittin, famous story over here. What happened over here? Karba Basavua, his name was Bar Kalba Basavua. He was one of the wealthiest people in all of Yerushalayim. Why was he called Karba Basavua? Kalba is Lashon of a dog. It's because somebody who was as hungry as a dog would come Savua. Savua is Lashon Svi'a. That he would be satisfied. That even the poorest people could come, they could eat for like a whole day's worth of food and they'd have more than enough food to serve them. So he was a very prominent, wealthy person. And his daughter, Rachel, she noticed Rabbi Akiva. He was Akiva, he was not a Talmud Chacham at all. He was actually an Am Haaretz, he was a shepherd. And she saw the potential in him, which is an amazing thing also, that she saw his potential, similar like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was a robber. Rabbi Yochanan saw his potential. It's very interesting how these they have a hasaga to find these hidden kochas that people have. And she said, if I ever come engaged to you, she's a very beautiful, prominent lady, would you go to study Torah? He answered, of course I will. So they got, not what we call engagement, they did erisin. Erisin means a full-on married. Again, but they would do nisuin at a later stage. Nisuin is the completion of the marriage. So what happened? Shama Karba Savuas. So Karba Savua heard about this. He was a very prominent person, and he was marrying this ignoramus, and he threw her out of the house, and Adra Anna Mikol Nachase. He was very wealthy, and he said, made a neder Anna, that she's not allowed to be Nana from any of his possessions. This was in hope that she would call off the marriage, she'd get a divorce from this guy, and eventually marry a Talmud Chacham and a good person. Azlav Insabe Labiz Isusa. So no, it didn't happen. She married Rabbi Akiva in Nisui now. They already did Erisin, now they're doing Nisui in the final stage of marriage. And they got married. Havaganu Be Tevine. So they were so poor, they would sleep in a straw shed without pillows, mattresses, nothing. Have Kaman Kitle Tevina Mezayer. Rabbi Akiva would remove the straw from her hair. Okay? Amar la I havi li. If I had money, Ramina la Yushalayim dahava, Yushalayim shel zahav, I'd give you a famous Yushalayim shel zahav. The beautiful golden thing which women would wear. It had a picture of Yushalayim on it. That's why Gemara talks about taking it out on Shabbos. It's like a type of tiara. So now, what happened? Asel Yao, Yao Navi came. Id Melun Gensha, he appeared as a person. Vekakari above, and he was calling outside. From their house, they didn't even have a house, their shed. Amr Eliyahu said to them, Havli Porta de Tvina, Delesi Itata Velamidam Le Lagaluguna. He says, do you have a little straw for me? My wife just gave birth, and I don't have anything to give her. Amr La Rabbi Kiva La Inte. Rabbi Kiva said to his wife, Chaze Gavra da Filu Tivne Lo Islay. Look over here, there's someone who's even less than us. He has even less than us. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and we're going to quote him twice actually today. We haven't quoted him in a while. It's amazing. In two different memories, it's a pretty famous idea that he has over here. Just psychologically, it gives us an insight over here that we see that there are people, a person should focus on in general. The idea was that they saw there's people, wow, people don't even have straw. We have straw, Baruch Hashem. A person in life should always look at people who have less than him, not people who have more than him. A way to get Menuchas and Nefesh to feel good about yourself is to get, you don't obviously, Chaz V'Shalom, have gaiva over them, but just to recognize, think, Akash Baruch, for all the brachas that you have, that you have X, Y, and Z of a certain house. Okay, Baruch Hashem. You know, it's not as big as your friend on the other side, but it's twice the size of your other friend that you have. So focus on the friend who's twice the size of. Now, Akash Baruch gave you the gift of the bracha. Always looking at people who have more than you, you're never going to be satisfied in life. But if you look at the people who have less than you, it's a recipe for happiness. To be content with what you have. So what happened? Amar Lei Zil Avi Beirav. She said, go to the base midrash. Azil Taltus Reishnin Kame de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. For 12 years, he would be before Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. I didn't understand it. He used to ask the kashas from Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. He would open up the whole study of Mishnayos. And the Gemara says, "L'mishlim tartes reishnin." So after 12 years, Ka'asa lebeisi, he was coming home. Shama v'nechor beisi. So mamish, as he was coming home, he heard from behind his house, "De ka'amr lechad Russia ledivisiu." That a Russia said, that same Russia said to his wife, "Shaper avid lachavuach." Your father actually did the right thing by banning you from and making the neder to tell you not to marry Rabbi Akiva. Chada de lo damilach. Firstly, your husband is not on your level. You're from a very prominent family. And Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was not from, he was from a family of converts. That's why the Gemara talks about they wanted to make him the Nasi, but they couldn't because they didn't have the Yichus, okay? Not only that, he left you almost chayos, that you're a living widow all of these years. So he obviously doesn't love you, or so he said. So she said, "Amra leish chazu shalom itzayis ladili." If you would listen to me, lahave tartin shreishin achrine. He would have stayed in the base medrash another 12 years. Amar Rabbi Kiva said to himself, he heard this whole conversation. They didn't see him yet. He didn't see his wife. Howel be obviously her shusa. She just gave me permission to learn another 12 years. Yehad elachori. I'm going to go back. Hadar azeli went back to the base medrash and have a tartin shreishin achrine. And then he was there for another 12 years. The famous shaila from Rav Chaim Soloveitz in Sichas Musar, a very famous idea, I've heard this many times said over. It's kedai to mention a million times over. Everyone should keep this message in their hearts. Rav Chaim Soloveitz asked the Kasha, he says, I don't understand. Let Rabbi Akiva come in for half a 2 minutes. Say Shalom Aleichem, give his wife a hug, and then go back to the Beis Midrash for 12 years. Why didn't he stop by and say hello to his wife? So says Rav Chaim Soloveitz very beautifully, that 12 plus a Shalom Aleichem and Nacha 12 is not 24. That the idea of Ritzifus tells us that there no break is necessary to have the whole concept of Ritzifus. Coming in, saying Shalom Aleichem, giving his wife a hug and saying hi to her is not the same thing as learning for 24 straight years. 12 plus 12, he says, does not equal 24. If you're not learning straight, that's not the same. Person who learns an hour straight, it's like you learn 5 hours with breaks, breaks, breaks. The person learning an hour straight is going to be higher than the one who learns more without with the constant breaks and not Ritzifus. So we see the koyach of Ritzifus. Very nice idea. Anyway, so that's the Gemara Vayter. Now he came back. Here the Gemara has Lashon of 24,000. Famous Gemara earlier in the Yevamos, it says 12,000. Okay. So whichever one it was. Nafikuli Amalayape. They went out to greet him. See, like the biggest Rosh Hashiva in the whole world. So his wife got up to greet him. Amalay Urisha, the same Rosh said to her, Vadla Eichel, where are you going? You have these tattered, disgusting clothing. Amrele Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemta. Righteous one knows his flock. He knows his animals. He knows me. Asas Achzu Ele. She came to be seen by Rabbi Akiva. Everyone saw this poor beggar lady. Kamad Chel Rabbanan. Rabbanan were like pushing her away from coming close to the Rav. Amrele Rabbi Akiva said, what are you doing? Hanichali, she's my wife. And I owe her everything. Shaliva Shalachem Shalahu. Famous idea that all the schluss of my learning, which in turn become the schluss of your learning, because I'm your Rebbe, is all the schluss my wife. You see the koyach of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, who have mysterious nefesh for their husband's learning, that all the schlussim is really theirs. Shama Kalva Savua. So Kalva Savua heard that a great tzaddik come. He didn't know this was a son-in-law at the time. So he decided to try to annul his neder. Asa Vishala al Nidre Vishtare Ishtaruya. So he asked her the neder be revoked to Ataras the Darim, and he was, Rabbi Kiva was allowed to, did the Hatara. The Gemara here doesn't elaborate on what exactly happened. The Gemara over there says the story. The Gemara, Nevamos tells us, in Ksubas actually, that what happened was, he said, Rabbi Kiva being the son-in-law, he didn't realize that this was his son-in-law at all, he just realized Rabbi Kiva the tzaddik. He said, had you known that your son-in-law had been a great tzaddik and one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim of our whole door, would you have made this neder? And he said, absolutely not. And Rabbi Kiva therefore removed the neder. So a famous question over there, the Tosfos asks, is in poschim anoilad, you're not allowed, that Rabbi Kiva was an amaretz at the time. Something which developed later is not a reason for hatara. That's what we've been saying throughout Maseches Nedarim. How is it that Rabbi Kiva was allowed to uproot the neder? So there's also a nice idea from Musa. I heard this from, I think it was Relevant, Nissen Kaplan, I think I heard it. And a shmuz from Nissen Kaplan, he said very beautifully, quoted this Tosus, and he said, that's not posted Manoila. It's a Batuk Menusa, Tosus says, that a person goes and sits and learns, sits in a learning, then you're going to become a Talmud Chacham. There's no such thing as a person who's sitting and shtagging and putting all his kochos into Torah, and you're not becoming a Talmud Chacham. So that's not posted Manoila. The fact that Rabbi Kiva had the ability to sit and learn, that's everybody. Everybody who sits and learns, that's not poschim anolad. It's a big musar for everybody. Says, I'm not cut out for learning. You're not cut out for learning. Everybody is cut out for learning and steiging for a few hours a day. There's no such thing as, oh, I just can't go. You sit down. A person can sit in his office for 10 hours. When it comes to sitting for a half hour, Gemara, you can't do it. You can do it. Everybody could sit, learn, steig over the Gemara, and you'll become a big Talmud Chacham. That's also a guarantee. That's what we see from the Tosos. Very nice idea. Anyway, so what happened? Rabbi Kalva Rasuva ended up giving Rabbi Akiva half of his wealth. Minshin Milei Atar Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara is now going to point out six different stories free service and things that happened, Rabbi Akiva became extremely wealthy. That this also would fulfill the promise to give Rachel a beautiful Yerushalayim Shazav, and he became very wealthy. One, min kalva savua, his shver was very wealthy. His wealthy father gave him a lot of money. Min ayla desvinasa. The second thing is this thing on the front of a ship that they used to have. It used to have a form in the front. So this little charm, people would have thought it would be a speed up the seas, and it was worth a lot of money. And one time, what happened was, the chol svinasa avdilei min eina. Every ship had this thing as a good luck thing, and it was worth a lot of money. Zimnachada insha al keif yama. Sailors forgot it on the seashore. Asahu ashkechay. Rabbi Kiva found it, so this was worth a lot of money, and he ended up getting it. That was the second thing he became very wealthy. What was the third thing? Min gavza, from a treasure chest. The zim nechad yayv arba zuzay laspunei. Rabbi Kiva gave sailors four zuz. Amalu, I silly midam, go bring me something. Go buy me something with this four zuz. What happened? Elagiza al keif yama. They didn't find anything to buy. They went on the side of the. They thought there'd be something to buy there. Nothing. They found this chest just lying on the seashore. It fell over there. I silly, they brought him the chest and he opened it up. Amalu, avin marnalea, make use of this. Ashizat the avin mele dinar. Inside it was laced with tons of gold, and it was from a ship that had a shipwreck, and he ended up making a lot of money from that as well. What else happened? The Zimnechad, the Gemara explains, the Zimnechad had Tavdas Vinasa Demin Tzeruka. It happened that the ship had people who were trading on the ship, and it sank. Chula Iske Avimachas Buguzu, and they put all their profits, all their cash into that chest. The Ashkei Bahu Zimna, that's where they ended up finding it. That's what the sailors found at that time, and they gave it back to, and they gave it to Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Umin Matronisa. Four is a noble woman. What is this case of the noble woman? The Ran tells a story. Rabbi Kiva and his students were in need for money. So they told the noble woman that they would lend you money. She said, how are you going to pay it back? So he said that you're going to agree that Shemayim Varetz Hashem and the sea, because she was working and she used to live at sea. So are you going to pay it back? And they said, yes. What happened was the time that came back, it was a big loan, was Rabbi Kiva had the money, but Rabbi Kiva was very sick. So she wasn't able to come to him. So she said, so after that, she said, Akash Baruch Hu, I did it with Rabbi Kiva, and you are the guarantor, and he's not paying me because he's sick, so you have to pay me back. So immediately, the Caesar's daughter was having a rage, and she threw off golden coins off of her ship, and this lady ended up getting it. So she got all the money back, plus some extra from this halva. And then Rabbi Kiva came, he felt better. A few months later, he came to her to repay the loan. She said, no, I already got back from my guarantor, from Akash Baruch Hu. And I actually have extra money, and I made extra money, so that extra money she gave him, and also, the Lahore Rikiva didn't have to pay back the loan, because she was Mochalet. Fine. So then the next story, that was number four. We have two more. Umin Ishtel, turning on to the next. Now, Umin Ishtel Shel Turnophis. Turnophis. Who's Turnophis, I can't pronounce this, whatever. Turnosophis. This Turnosophis. Who is this? Turnosophis. Is a Turner Ophis in the Lashon of the Gemara. It was a Roman governor of Eretz Yisrael during the time of Adrian. He actually ended up killing Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So, what happened was that he hated Rabbi Akiva because he used to have all these debates, these theological debates in front of the emperor, and he used to always win Rabbi Akiva. So, his wife had a plan that, similar to what we see by Bilam, that Soy Nezima, Akash Baruch Hu hates Znus. She said, I'm going to come to Rabbi Akiva and have him sleep with me. So, because she was the most beautiful woman in the world. So she came to Rabbi Akiva, and in attempt, she dressed herself in the most beautiful clothing to seduce Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva had three reactions to her. He spat, he laughed, and he cried. So why? What are the meaning of these three things? He said he spat because you come from Tipa Srucha. Everyone comes from Tipa Srucha, from a man, right? From a man's seed. That you come from that. So that he spit from that. I cried because your beauty one day is going to be buried in the ground. Rabbi Akiva had seen in a moment that really they're going to be married. And the third thing, he laughed because he saw that eventually she's going to convert. That's why he was laughing. He thought it was funny. So the Gemara says that she recognized that such a tzaddik. She said, how could I do tshuva? And he ended up informing her that by converting, she could do tshuva. And she ended up marrying Rabbi Akiva, according to the story. So now, the mean Kitia Bar Shalom, and she was very wealthy, so she ended up giving Rabbi Akiva a lot of her wealth. And Kitia Bar Shalom, who's this? It was a person who was under Caesar, who hated the Yidden. So basically what happened was they were deciding what to do. The Caesar was deciding what to do with the Jews. Some were saying to kill all of them, some were not to kill all of them. Basically, he decided, I'm going to paraphrase over here for the sake of time, he decided that said that it was wise not to kill all the Jews because he said that it's impossible to really kill them all the whole world, and everyone's going to decide you as the person who's killing off the Jews like a mass murderer. It's not good eye for you. So the Caesar ended up agreeing with his taina, but he said that the person speaks well, but you debate the king and you win. You're buried alive, and your house is filled with dirt. So they were taking him to be killed. So a Roman noble woman said to him, "Woe is to you that you tried to help the Jews. You're being killed. You're not even one of them, though. You're not Mila. You're not Mal. You need to have a circumcision in the world to come." So he ended up taking his teeth and cutting off his Mila, and now a tremendous pain, obviously, and they're about to kill him. And he said, "I give everything I have to Rabbi Akiva and his base midrash." And Rabbi Akiva again ended up making more money even from that. Okay, very fascinating story. You have, you know, the tzaddikim who are of Negerim. Rav Gamda Havi Havi Arbis Zuzel Espinai. Rav Gamda once gave four zim to sailors. La'ayisu lemidim, to bring something for him. La'ashkechot, they didn't find anything. Asu lahu be'un kufa. So they ended up finding a monkey to buy for him. Ishtamit. They paid for the monkey, now it's his. And the monkey was escaping. Al acharcha, so the monkey went into a hole. Chafu basu, they ran after the monkey. Ashkechot reveal, Margalisa, they found there was tons of pearls where the monkey had brought them. Asuna le'kulam, they ended up giving the pearls to Rav Gamda, because they only found it because of him, his chus. Now, the Rabbi Rishonim point out, lechor, they had no reason, they don't have no chiyuv. It was just a metzia that doesn't have any simanim. They're allowed to keep it. Why do they have to give it to Rav Gamda? So the Shai and the Rishonim, many Rishonim hold that, no, you didn't have to at all, but the sailors are tzaddikim, the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us that the sailors are very pious people. So therefore, they went lefli mishur sadin, they went above and beyond the letter of the law, and they gave it to him. Very interesting story. Amar le bar kisla Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So discussing Rabbi Noma moment, we discuss over here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who was one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim of the time. Torah mefor b'chli mechor. So Torah is beautiful, I agree. Or the Torah of the Jews, the learning Torah is a beautiful thing. But you're such an ugly person. How come someone so ugly like you is the bearer of Torah? Someone who's holding up a whole Torah, like the Gadol Ador. So apparently he was blackened because he fasted so many times for, you know, the gzeros of the Jews to be uprooted. And he looked very sickly. He didn't look good at all. Amar Las, he responded to her, Lamidim basavuch. So go learn from your father's house. Where do they put wine in? Amr Lai, she said, like everybody does. We put it in earthenware vessels with the very cheap earthenware vessels. Amr Lai, she said, using these earthenware vessels. You're the royal family. Why are you using earthenware vessels? She agreed with that argument. He says, you should put it in gold and silver. So she listened to him. She put it in gold and silver vessels. Vistari ended up having the wine spoiled because it doesn't hold it well. Amr Lash, Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya said, Aparaisa came, so to the Torah. It's somebody who is very humble, holds the Torah better. Somebody who holds the humility is a prerequisite for Torah. A person who has Torah and is not humble, person is not humble, the Torah doesn't stand with him. So Gemara says, but still, Aikah Shapir Mikmarm. There are people who are very learned, very big Talmid Chachamim, they're very beautiful people. So it doesn't need to be beautiful. Amr Lash, Rabbi Yishuv said to her in response to that, Yavasanim. If they were really ugly, they would have known even more Torah, because they would have been more humble. To be more humble is look at the biggest, the Omer Ben Rav Shechter, or Nevzal Shechter, the biggest Gedolim of Torah in the world, that they have such humility. Their humility is unbelievable, both of them. So there's others. I'm just talking about my personal experience with seeing them and their aspects. It's a reminder where you see that. To be a Gadol Ador, prerequisite is to have humility. Someone who came before Narda, to Rav Yehuda, in Narda, where he lived, to judge a case. She was found chayav. Amr Lei, the woman, was very upset. She said, Shmuel, Rabbanan, Achayav, Rabbanan, Shmuel. He would have judged me like this? Amr Lei, yeah, that's it. How do you know Shmuel? Amr Lei, I know Shmuel. And she began to talk about him negatively. Kutsa v'rabba, kresa uke v'rabba shine. He's short, he has a big belly, he's dark, and he has big teeth. So he describes him very disparagingly, like saying like he's an ugly guy. Amr Lei, Sir Yehuda, as the Rambam points out, Yochasam Torah, that speaking badly about a Talmud Chacham is reasons to be put in Chayim. So I'm like, Leviziah Kassas, you're embarrassing him? I'm putting you in Chayim, in excommunication. Paka Mesa, so immediately she burst and she died from that Chayim that he put in her. Apparently she didn't want to do tshuva. So yes, he wanted to do tshuva, she did not. And she ended up being punished that she burst and died. In fact, we're going back to the Gemara. Where he says, quoting the Mishnah, Mutar Beitza Tormisa. A cooked food is konam, then if you're going to be mutter to eat this termita egg, the termita egg, the tough. So what's this termita egg? So it says in Gemara, my beitza termita, what is this termita egg? Amar Shmuel, avda david lai shave alfe dinare. A slave can prepare it worth 1,000 gold dinar if you do it properly. Maile alfe zimne b'mayachani, what do? Put an egg 1,000 times in hot water, Apparently, put it 1,000 times in cold water. It shrinks to the point for it to be swallowed whole without chewing it. And apparently, it's a very, very big delicacy and very healthy. So it's worth so much. Maybe it's Lashon Guzma that's worth obviously 1,000 dinar, but still. And if a person has any bad things on his bodies, it's going to form a residue on egg. It's going to come out. It's examined based on the appearance. Yada Isa my kasame by baile. The doctor will know what medicine is required for that patient of Isa and how he can be healed. Apparently, it had these therapeutic purposes also. Very interesting. So the Gemara writes, Shmuel have a badik. Nashe bekulcha. He would examine himself with a kulcha. What is this kulcha? The Rambam is not really sure exactly what it is, but maybe the Aruch explains that it's a head of a cabbage. And Shmuel would put it on his mouth and he would swallow it. It would cause him tremendous pain, but he knew it was eventually going to be healing him. And the members of his household would undo their praise, his wife, in distress over seeing that their husband was in so much pain. So we learn, the Mishnah says, that the worker is allowed to eat without having to take off maestros. He's allowed to eat achilas arai. However, only what he's actually working with. So if he's in loyach of nosheva, if a person's working the kufas and figs, you're not allowed to eat the nosheva. Binosheva, loyach of kufas. And if he's working with binosheva, you're not allowed to eat the kufas. So now, klufusin rather. So my klufusin, what are these klufusin? Mina decided a specific type of fig, the avdin meunu lepide. You cook them. Ha'u gavra, davayasev avdin lechavre. He was a servant of his friend and we paid. La'agme alfa mina yalfe. Why did he pay him? To teach him 1,000 different recipes for cooking this fig. Agmar Timna man, he taught him only 800. He said, Mekachtos, I paid you for 1,000. Is Melantina like coming? The Rebbe brought him before Rebbe to teach him to say that it was a Mekachtos. He should have the sale reneg. I said, I paid him for 1,000. He only told me 800 to my slave. I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe said, Havasinu Amru Nashenu Toiva. We forgot what luxury is really all about. We never even saw this. This luxury of having 1,000 different ways to cook these things. What type of chefs we're discussing over here. A tremendous amount of luxury you guys have. So the Rebbe just pointing out. Rebbe Avilei Lula Rebbe Shimon Berei. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. One of the wealthiest people at the door. He was making a wedding. Obviously if a great foreign dignitaries were coming. And he forgot. As we showed him point out. You see the Hamish of the story. Bar Kapara was his Talmud. He forgot to invite Bar Kapara. Ksavah Beis Ganana. Bar Kapara wrote like a graffiti on the wedding hall. He was very upset. 240 million dinar you spent on the wedding hall, which is a tremendous amount. Some say maybe it's a guzma. It's just that Lashon HaTujafor, maybe it has some significance. Al Pikabola, Marshall says, no, maybe it actually was that amount. If you think about it, then the numbers that they say is something like, it's like $25 million, like in a wedding. Imagine that. Yeah, people spend like $10 million, whatever, even the wealthiest people in the world. But maybe they say, maybe it wasn't that much because you had to invite literally all the foreign dignitaries of the world were coming. It was a crazy, crazy situation. So I'm curious how much like the queens, the royal weddings in England are. I think they're also like $10 million. I don't think they're more than that though. Maybe they are. Maybe they're like $20 million. Anyway, so below as being the Bar Kapara, but yet you didn't have the extra dollar to spend to invite your Talmud Bar Kapara. Amalei Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, "Im lo over tzenek kach." If this is the people who transgress as well, because you're violating Ratzon Hashem, you don't even invite me. Lo tzei Ratzon Hakamam. How much more is Hashem going to reward those who Hashem will do the will of Hashem? So that, some explain what do you mean that he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. How is it that he's allowed to speak like this? So it's very interesting. There's different explanations of this. Exactly how he's allowed to talk like this. Either way, what happened is Amnon Rabbi invited Bar Kapara. Amar Bar Kapara said in response, those who perform the will of Hashem, much more you're going to be rewarded in the world to come by inviting me. So he reneged what he said before, and now he's saying that you're obviously going to be rewarded for having me. So what happened? Yomad Mechayach Bei Rabbi. Any day which Rabbi would laugh, I used to pronounce the Alma. Bad things would happen in the world. He was a relative of Jewish people, so even this laughter, this moment of a person having levity and not being serious, that would lead to bad things for all of Klal Yisrael. See, the koyach of a tzaddik. Amar le bar kapar. Rabbi said to bar kapar, lo tavdichan v'yavdin le'arba gureg chite. Don't bring me to laugh, and I'm going to give you 40 measure of wheat. I'm going to pay you to not laugh. Amar le bar kapar said to him in response, lef semar. You should notice, turning on to Nanamalaf. Now, the Chog Giriva Deva'ina Shaklina, that which I take as a large measure as I wish, Shakel Dikle Rabba, Bar Kapara took a large basket. Chayf Mikrufa, he put some pitch into it to make sure not one grain of wheat should throw, go fall out of the basket. Vesachle Aresha, he turned to the basket upside down. Va'azov Amrale, and he went to Rebbe and he said, Lichalimar Arbar and Griya Chite Darshinabach, 40 measures of wheat that you owe me. Achok Rebbe, Rebbe laughed and said, Amrale, Lava. You should not make me laugh. He made me laugh that this situation, because Bar Kapar was doing, he was trying to collect the largest amount by choosing the largest basket. So apparently that made Rebbe laugh. So he thought it was funny. Amar Lei Chite Darisha Kadnasimah. I'm taking the wheat, which I have a claim on. So he was referring to, he didn't want to make Rebbe laugh, but he's saying, okay, I'm taking my wheat. There's some deeper kavanas over here. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I'll pick up with Amar Lei Bar Kapar Labar Say to Rebbe, Mirz Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.